today for two Frenchmen, two people from French. Anybody is French here today? You can put your hand up, please. Frenchman? Oh, French woman. Okay, French woman, you can please stand, French woman. And anybody else is from French? Or from Mauritius? Who understand the French? Where else? You understand French? Oh, you come here, please, today, my darling. You understand French. Okay, please, my darling, you can come here. And you French lady, come greet this French lady, please. I want to see how French people kiss. Okay, you come, say hello. Bonjour, bonjour. Mwah. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, very, very beautiful. No, stay here, please, stay here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just stay right here, a little bit over here. Okay, you go this way because French people can also be very cross. And so you must hit her as hard as you can with your right hand on this cheek, but just play.
Sure.
Just play. And now you must hit her back again. Okay, now I'm going to put a red mark on your cheek. Yeah, because you have been a hit hard. And here,
there goes the makeup.
You see that black man, French man, why you not stand up? You big chicken. Yeah, you're a big poulet. Yeah, you are a poulet because you wouldn't see the red mark on your face. Yes, well done. Okay. So, good morning. Nice to see you standing right there. Happy Christmas. And rugby is played on a field. I have a French friend who always says to me, because I don't like hugs from anybody, especially you, and I'm not on Christmas Day because it's hot and it's sweaty, so please don't hug me. And my mum and my mother-in-law are there. You can pick them up afterwards. Drop them by five, please. It's lovely having you, mum and my mother-in-law. I mean, she had her pancreas out and her spleen and she broke her leg and she's a wheelchair. What's your excuse for not coming to church? Anyway, lovely having you, mum. Let's give her a big warm welcome. And my mother-in-law, of all the mother-in-laws I've ever had, you are one of them. That's the only honest thing I could say. So, no, you're actually beautiful. You are very beautiful. So, rugby is played in a field. Tennis is played on a court. Water polo is played in a pool. Relationships are played on the cheek. And a friend of mine always says to me, kiss, kiss. And as he said that, I was praying for him the other day because he's had quite a tough time relationally. And I realized that when we get offended on our one cheek, God gives us two opportunities. So when he says, turn the other cheek, can you turn the cheek that's not hurt? When he says, turn the other cheek, he's basically saying, will you give each other a chance, another chance?
Is that the feminine?
It is a permanent marker. In French, I don't know what it means. A pen point. So let's put a tick. Let's put a tick there. So when God says turn the other cheek, he's basically saying, would you give each other another chance at relationship? But in order for these two people now to walk together, this lady will have to walk backwards while Daleen walks forward. Just walk backwards. So in order to walk together, sometimes it feels strange. And in order to walk this way is where you walk forward, Daleen feels like she's actually walking backwards. But it's very easy when we have been offended to present only this side to people. It's very easy to preach this way. I can walk up and down here and talk about my year with a red mark on my face. I can talk about everything that's gone wrong with me. Or I can give you another chance of intimacy and say, come close again, even if you're going to have to walk backwards for a while until we understand each other. Amen? So Christmas is a time of turning the other cheek. You may be seated. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Je t'aime, oui, oui, parlez-vous français, amen. Okay, let's have a look at the scripture. If you can put up on the board Isaiah chapter 40, Stephen spoke about it on Sunday. Let's read it together. Comfort, this is the worst time in Isaiah 39. They're about to send God's people into exile. That has been promised. That's a very low point of history in Israel. The Babylonians are going to come and take everything away. It's a very low point in our nation. We have got a government that is crumbling. We have got many situations in our nation that are not making sense. We have got an economy that's under incredible crisis. But Christmas Day is the day that the church preaches strength and courage to its people. Christmas is a day that you should go home with a picture of God's faithfulness inside of our hearts, that despite what is all around us, God is still very much involved inside of our lives. Comfort, comfort my people. That's not a comfort. Just leave the scripture up, the whole scripture, please. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double. Say double. For all her sins. Please keep the scripture up there. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Friends, every one of us has got two sides. Every one of us has got a red mark and a green mark. And when we go into company, we want to go in like this with our green mark because we love to put our best foot forward, don't we? But what the Bible says is that God has paid double for my sins. So he heals both my cheeks. That means I can go into anybody's presence with my head held high and look you straight in the eyes. That means I was in jail. I have come out of jail. God has healed that cheek. But I don't have to be embarrassed about being in jail because God has paid double for my sins. So I never have to drag my past with me. That means whatever I have done, I can kiss anybody in the cheek and look anybody in the eye because God has redeemed me relationally. Amen? Let's keep reading. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. What happens to green grass when it gets cut? What happens to it? It grows. No, no, not the green grass that has been cut, not the one that's left behind. Can I speak French to you? I speak Afrikaans to you. Wat gebeur met die groen gras wat ons klaar gesny het? Hy vrek dood. Ja, die gras vrek dood. Baie goed. What happens to grass when it gets cut? What happens to it? It becomes what? Becomes white, it becomes what else? What do we feed cows in winter? Say it. Hey, say hey. Hey. Say, we feed cows hay. Where was Jesus born? Exactly. Exactly. Concentrate. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently, say gently. He gently leads those that have young. I was reading this week of a lady who was studying nature, and she went for 3 weeks and sat in a nature reserve. And when she came out, she was completely flabbergasted by the wildness and the brutality of nature. And she said, all you see in nature is the survival of the fittest. That's how nature works. And she wrote about the wasp killing the fly and the fly laying eggs, and about an animal that jumps onto a frog and it penetrates the frog with its spike, and the frog goes completely like jelly, and then it sucks the jelly out of the frog. And when she wrote out, she said, what we say is nature's beautiful is actually just an environment where the fittest survive. But the church is not like that. Unless we start to build the church like the world, the church is actually where the weakest survive. And Christmas is not just a message to the strong. Christmas is a message to the weak. And the picture they use is a woman with a child. You just have to go into Atterbury Shopping Center and you will see a woman with a baby on her hip, with a pram and another child, and she's got her boot open and she's trying to put groceries in there and one child in the back. And you think, that is an incredibly vulnerable picture in South Africa. Because when we go to our cars, we look left and right. We think, is anybody checking us? We clip out and we quickly jump in our cars so that somebody... And so in that picture, whenever I see that picture, I say, God, you're the God who looks after the very vulnerable, the very weak, the people that are most exposed in this nation. You're the God who looks after them. Christmas is not just a message for the strong. How are you doing? Buckle up. 2020 is waiting. No, if you're really, really downcast, if you've had a tough year, Christmas is a message for you. God will never forsake you and he will never leave you. Amen? So five things, quickly, five things. Number one, security. Comfort, comfort my people. The best way to describe comfort, excuse me if you've heard this before, is to divide it into two words, come, fort. The fort has come. Comfort. The moment you walk into church, it doesn't matter where you have been, the comfort of Christ should hit you. If people preach properly, it doesn't matter if you've sinned, it doesn't matter if you've wrecked your life. If people preach properly, friends, you should leave the church feeling comforted. You should leave the church feeling protected. You should leave the church feeling like there is a wall that has been placed around you. Where's Anthea? If Anthea can come here, please. Where are you, Ant? Somewhere. Anyway, Anthea, come quickly. Where is she? She's coming. A running Indian. This girl grew up under all sorts of words. But when she came to work for us, we felt God say we must be kind to her and speak tenderly to her. Comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly. Say tenderly. Tenderly. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And so I don't think she's ever heard us shout, have you? No. Maybe once or twice.
In a good way.
In a good way. But as we have spoken tenderly to her, she has stood up straight. And as she stood up straight, she started to exercise authority. And as she started to exercise authority, people have started to change. And as people have started to change, they've come into her space. And as they've come into her space, as she speaks tenderly to them, they start to stand up straight. And as they start to stand up straight, they start to change their space. Do you know what her job title is in the church? The architect of atmosphere. How awesome is that? The architect of atmosphere. Everything that has taken place today, somewhere, has got her fingerprints on it. Let's give her a big hand. Not from shouting, not from screaming, not from deadlines, just from speaking tenderly. And as we've spoken tenderly to her, she is operating in a sphere so big. Gentlemen, speak tenderly to your wives. Fathers, speak tenderly to your children. Bosses, speak tenderly to your staff. You will get far more out of them than shouting and screaming and deadlines, because God says, comfort my people and speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Amen. Let's give Anthea a big hand. The first thing is security. You're getting hot. Let's lacquer. I'm the only guy grafting here today. The second one, friends, is opportunity. It says God will build a highway towards you. He will build a highway towards you. So I got hold of a guy in our church who builds highways. Yesterday I said, how much does a 3-lane highway cost? He says 15 million rand a kilometer. I want to ask you this question, friends. How far are you from God today? 20 kilometers away? 25 kilometers away, 30 kilometers away. I want to say, if you're 20 kilometers away from God, He will spend 300 million rand to make sure that He gets to you. 300 million rand. I got an SMS today from a man called Owen. He comes from Scotland. He was a drug addict. And God sent him from Scotland through his friend to get a job in South Africa. He continued his drugs, and God sent me on a rugby tour in 1987, and He told me to plant a church. And from that place in White River, He built a road, and that road went all the way to a golfer who was also on drugs, and I led that man to the Lord. And then that road led to the old school I used to go to, and that school had a man on the board who wanted me to marry his daughter, and it led to a wedding that I did in Johannesburg in the Anglican church. And then that wedding led to a man that used to work for Investec Bank, and from Investec Bank I managed to get this guy a sponsorship, and then he introduced me to his boss, who left Investec Bank because one of the richest men in the country started a new business, and he got him headhunted. And when he got to that business, he met a drug addict called Owen, and the only guy he knew who could fix him was Rory, actually stroke Jesus inside of me. And so He put us together, and that whole construction started in 1987. But if God can put that together, and Owen sent me an SMS last night and said, hey Rory, I want to tell you that you are my man of the year for 2019. The Holy Spirit has just started speaking into my heart. It's early steps. I'm staggering a little bit, but I can feel my feet becoming more secure every day. And that man who introduced me to Owen got hold of another friend of his who was in trouble 6 weeks ago, and if 6 weeks ago you said to him, you're going to come to 3CI, this is what he called 3CI, the dodgy church with the dodgy pastors. That's what he called us. Was he true? Probably. I've been called dumb and dodgy in the last 2 weeks. The dodgy church. But when he phoned this guy who used to work for that company, is now there, he phoned this guy and he said, I'm in trouble. He said, there's only one guy you can go and see. His name is Rory. And so we went to see him. And for the first time in his life today, he's walked into this church, because God will build 300 million rand highways to get to you. He'll do it however He wants. And I tell you why you're here today is because God wants you here. I don't know who invited you. I don't know why you're on holiday. I don't know whose chance it is to have Christmas at their home this year. But you are here because God loves you. And He wants to show you His glory and His kindness and His forgiveness and His authority and His patience and His presence and His generosity. That's why you're here today. And if you are 50 Ks or 60 Ks or 150 Ks away from God, then He will keep building highways, 15 million rand a kilometer, until He gets to you and shows you His glory. Amen? Number three, eternity. We are just like grass. We grow up and we think we're big lanies, and then we just fall over. And Christmas is a time to remember what's really important. Because you're not going to be here forever. And there were times when we held our arms and there was more above than there is below. But some weird shifts. And you can inject whatever you like in there and here and here and here. I look at some of those TV evangelists, they are completely distorted. They should just put there, so-and-so international ministry sponsored by Botox. There is a fight against the process of aging because we don't want to come to the realization that we are in an eternal world and God has designed our bodies to age so that we might actually come to our senses and say, what's really important? Moses wrote a psalm, friends. He said, your life on earth, if you can do the mathematics, is like 15 minutes. I'm 51 years old. I've had 9 minutes. I've got 6 minutes left. I don't want to waste my time with unforgiveness. I don't want to waste my time with bitterness. I haven't got opportunities to gossip. I just want to get on and change the world for Christ. Amen? You are an eternal person living an eternal world. Make sure this world of accumulation and accomplishment doesn't grip you. But that Christmas sets you free. Amen? It's been a year of sacrifice with our building. The more I've given away, the freer I feel. There's a group of pastors now in America, young 32, 33-year-old guys, writing books all the time, just talking about a simplicity. Let's just get back to a simple life and use our resources to serve God. Yes, some of you will be stinking rich. God says He'll give us everything for our enjoyment. Cars, houses, boats, everything. But just make sure you're living a simple life. Amen? Number four, theology. Theology. Number one, security. Number two, I've forgotten. Opportunity. Number three, eternity. Number four, theology. The grass dies, and friends, that patch where Jesus was born, and you'll all look at Christmas cards and their lights on and their candles on, and all the cows are standing in a row and all the donkeys are standing in a row, and it looks like A1's cleaning services have come in and done everything like that. Everything looks absolutely beautiful on your Christmas card, and your Christmas tree looks beautiful, and you vacuumed your carpet. It was hay and stubble and donkey crap. We've got to just say it for what it is. And that's where Jesus was born. And when you want to call somebody dumb, you call him a dumbass. That is the greatest slander you can call anybody, a dumbass, because a donkey is a dumb. And in that place where the dumbass had pooed and it mixed up with all the dead works of human beings, the hay and the stubble and the urine of the cows, was born our Savior, and they lifted Him out of that muck and lifted it up and said, here is your God. Here is your God. Here is your God. Do you feel stupid today? Do you feel like rubbish? Do you feel like dung? Do you feel like you've messed up your life? Do you feel like you're at the absolute pits? Then Jesus gets underneath that and He picks it all up and He says, here is your God. It doesn't matter what you've done. He was presented. The first pulpit of humankind was a pen of rubbish, of urine, of hay, of dead works. And in that place, Christ was presented on Christmas Day so that you and I can be set free from all the rubbish in our lives. Amen? And number five, authority. Authority. He comes to rule with His right hand. Where's the French lady? Come, French lady, please come here. He comes to rule with His right hand, to exercise authority over your life, to exercise government over your life, to exercise His will over your life, to exercise His kingdom over your life. And just when you think it's so scary, His eyes are like fire, He says, but also, my other arm, I will lead you gently. I will look after you. I will care for you because I am a warrior, but I'm also a shepherd. And when you feel safe, I will exercise my will. And when I exercise my will, you will feel safe. For I've not just paid for half your sin, I've paid double. I've healed you completely. That means you and I can always look each other straight in the eye. I've done some things behind me that I'm very embarrassed about. But Jesus has given me security. He's given me opportunity. He's given me eternity. He's given me theology. He's given me authority that you and I can always look each other in the eye. Never be embarrassed about our past. And together, as we form community, we will change the city one person at a time. Maybe you're offended by one word I used today, but I wonder how many times we've offended God. I wonder how much of our works have just been rubbish. It actually says our works in the Bible are like a used tampon. That's what it says. If you think I'm being harsh. But I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not even trying to shock you. I'm just trying to show you that Jesus was born in the very, very lowest, darkest, most disgusting place so that you know he can get into your deepest, darkest, most disgusting place and heal you and redeem you and save you and clean you and love you and set you completely and utterly free. Say this with me, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her her hard labor is over, and I've paid for her sins double. Both my cheeks are clean. I can look any man in the eye. I don't have to present my best side. Both my sides are under Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.